Welcome to your Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast for St. John WA. Save 000 for emergencies.
So the last couple of days, there's been a lot of talk about guns in WA. It's on the front page of the paper today. It's been a couple of days in the news of going, someone has revealed that the gun laws need to be reviewed because we've got all these guns in WA that people didn't know about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the average person, I guess, didn't know about. But they are, the ones that were revealed are registered firearms to people who have registered themselves as gun owners.
Yeah. Now, they're saying that the number of licensed guns in WA is 300, just shy of 350,000, right? And so they've put a map online as well, saying these are where the guns can be seen, and then suggesting that there's guns in every street in Perth.
The map makes it look scary, doesn't it? It does make it look scary. I guess it sensationalises the fact that people own guns.
That doesn't sound like something the media would do. What are you talking about?
Crazy.
Absolutely, I mean, crazy. Look, it's one of these things where I've been thinking about this over the last 12 hours, going, okay, there's been an increase of 60% in the last 13 years in terms of how many guns we have, right? But not really a number of changes to the number of people with gun licenses. So they're saying WA residents who've got a gun license remain static at around 89,000. So it suggests that those who already had a gun license have gotten more guns, making it about four guns to the average license holder.
Yeah, okay.
Right? Yep. Now, all over this map and everything that they've been saying in these articles, it's sort of suggesting that you need to be worried because ordinary people out there have got guns. But to me, I look at those and I was like, now these are ones that are registered. They're not the people I'm concerned about.
No.
Not as much as the ones that are not registered.
Yeah.
Because the ones that are registered, I'm like, well, they're obviously having to plead some case for why they've got a gun.
Well,
and
you
I would imagine that a lot of those people would be security guards and police officers, and all of those would have to be registered, and surely they count.
Well, let me walk you through it. Because, and I'll start by saying, like, we do not have guns on our property.
Yeah.
However, I myself and a lot of my family, we're recreational shooters. We do club and hunting.
Right.
Right. And so I've grown up around them my entire life. I think it's reasonable to own a gun or a number of guns because it's all I've ever known. And God knows there's a myriad of other things that we use every single day, which used irresponsibly could kill you.
Yep.
Right. Now, I think that the argument they've put forward about the laws needing some sort of change is valid because those laws were introduced in 1974.
Okay.
But I also think that any law that was introduced in the 60s, the 70s, even the 80s needs to come under serious consideration because the world has changed very, very quickly in the last 30, 40 years.
Things need to be reviewed.
Right, absolutely. However, I think, like, I do think it's sensationalizing what is going on. To me, it's not a shock. It's not a surprise. Because, I mean, between myself and a couple of other members of the family, I, you know, will not name, you know, we've got a dozen of them.
Yep.
And between them being collector's items or club guns or other stuff, we use them responsibly. They are kept responsibly.
They're locked up.
They're locked up. And I know this, you know, might sound silly for some people to hear, but I'm a firm believer that, you know, guns don't kill people, people kill people.
Look, it's one of these things where, like, I don't feel fear over the articles or what I've seen because, as far as I'm concerned, those guns didn't pop up on Monday. They've been there the whole time.
Yes.
If you didn't know that they existed, that means that the fabric of society is still pretty well held together and those people aren't going around shooting people because we would know about that, right? Like more.
And the some of the examples that they've used in terms of some people who are, you know, under criminal investigation.
Yes.
Who do own guns.
And I agree with that. That should be reviewed because they are saying, look, you know, the West Australian are saying, well, we've uncovered people who have been able to keep their gun license when they're clearly domestic violence perpetrators and things like that. Now, obviously, that needs to be reviewed. But I mean, I don't know how many times we've had conversations about domestic violence laws in general need to be reviewed drastically. And it now they're only bringing it up now when it comes to trying to fit the narrative of gun reform.
Yeah. And I,
I'm like,
I think,
no, people who have breached the law, you know, breached their restraining order 27 times. Yeah, they shouldn't have a gun, but they also shouldn't be allowed to breach their restraining order 27 times.
Yeah.
So how about we look at that?
Gun or no gun, if they are setting out to kill someone, I think they'll find another way if they don't have a gun.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't know. This shock would have shaken a lot of people. They would have seen all of this stuff and it's freaked them out going, we don't want to be like America. We don't need guns in Australia. But I don't know how risky it is. I like to think that if this is so far been, I can trust that these people in the street must have them. But I just don't know if that's creating unnecessary panic.
Mm. Do you think anyone's been shot?
And I mean, like there to, would I, be. There'd be people that have been shot, surely. But I mean,
accidentally?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
I mean, you can put it out there. You can try.
I will put it out there. So we do a little thing on this show called...
We got one!
And we would like to ask this morning, have you been shot?
I mean, sure. Wow. Yeah.
Under whatever circumstances,
yep.
Right? This is a, you know, genuine conversation here. Have you been shot? We got Lucy in Bilia. So, yes, we indeed.
We got one!
What happened, Lucy?
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, guys. Love listening to you guys in the morning.
Thanks, Lucy.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, cast your mind back. This is back in the 1960s, right? Mm-hmm. And this is in Italy. And back in the day, they used to go shooting for rabbits. It was a thing. Whoever, like, shot the most rabbits.
Yep.
And then would have rabbit for dinner. So anyhow, my dad went out with my uncle down on the farm and they were shooting for rabbits and one of my uncles shot his brother on the leg thinking it was a rabbit.
Oh. So an accidental shooting but also like thought it was a rabbit.
How did he think it was a... I mean, I know Italians are hairy, Lucy, but
I know, right?
Wow, how did that go down,
how
Lucy?
How do you get that? I don't think they spoke for a while.
Yeah.
It was kind of a bit of, you know, animosity. You shot me, all that kind of stuff. But it was an accident and eventually they made up and it's all good. Like, and you know, he was walking, he was fine.
Oh,
it was
okay.
Just nothing major, like still live to tell the tale.
I mean, it would be very traumatic.
Yeah.
There's no question that would be an awful situation.
And I reckon you'd have a moment where you're wondering whether or not you actually had been.
Yeah, well,
you know what I mean?
What?
Until,
I don't know that because you see it in the movies and some people go, they didn't know that they'd been, or you see docos where they're like, I didn't know I'd been shot.
Yeah.
Like, I guess your body goes into shock or something.
We've got more here. Paul in East Fremantle, you've been shot?
Yeah, believe it or not.
Wow, what happened?
So this was many years ago. I was a young engineer and we were designing the SAS rifle range down at Swanbourne. And part of the design required that we come up with some steel plate to take bullet fire that didn't actually penetrate. And so what we were doing was shooting, or we weren't, I wasn't, the SAS were shooting machine guns down a pipe and hitting steel plate. And then we were measuring how long the steel plate would last with the bullets being hitting it. And one of the SAS guys said to me, do I want to have a go in the machine gun? And I thought, yeah, that sounds pretty good. A young guy had been given a machine gun. So I was shooting down this pipe and I had a 90-degree ricochet, which basically meant the bullet went straight down and came straight back, and the bullet hit me in the chest as a 90-degree ricochet. It was as hot as hell, and so it burnt like crazy and stuck to my chest and left a nice little red mark. But interestingly, how hot the bullet was, it was as hot as all hell. But
So it didn't penetrate the skin, just sort of bounced off you, I guess.
Nah, it stuck to me. It was ragged by the time I got back, so I was actually stuck, and there was sort of like a little red. There was a little red mark and a few little specks of blood. But it was more of a burn than anything else. And scared the living whatever out of me.
Yeah.
Paul, did you know immediately, or was there a moment of, have I been shot?
It was instant. It was almost instantaneous because you know the bullets are moving pretty fast. I think about 300 meters a second or something stupid like that. So yeah, by the time they hit and came back, it was sort of pulled the trigger and felt the pain.
Wow!
Thanks for your call, mate. Appreciate it.
Wow, young engineer at a rifle range.
Yeah.
You're probably making $17 an hour, taking a bullet in the chest.
What?
What is that sound? Mix 94.5's Sounds of Perth.
Oh, so much to unpack.
So much.
So much that we needed to do a podcast of it.
I heard one of the hip stations yesterday. Hip. Just full of cool kids.
Yeah.
They called them, check out wherever you get your pods.
Your pods?
Your pods.
Is that what we need to call it now?
I guess that's what the podcast is. It's your pods.
We talk about things. So off the air, we talk about things like demographics. Now, I would argue I am at the low end of our target demographic.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I've been told anyway. Mm-hmm. And I've never called it a pod, bro.
Where do you get your pods?
Where do you get pod,
on
bro?
On the listener app, bro. Yeah.
Anyway, you are at the podcast, Pete, Matt and Kimber. No Maddie today, but plenty of clues. These are Mix 94.5 Sounds of Perth. Two sounds and their locations have been identified, Kimber.
Two and three, we've banged on about plenty before, right? Number mm-hmm. two is waxing the surfboard at Cottesloe Beach. And number three is pulling or separating the trolleys at the Perth Airport.
Now, make sure you really, like, note those down. Because our caller from this morning was like, oh, waxing a surfboard at Scarborough Beach.
No, it's not right. It's Cottesloe.
Right. Now, if she had said the others, gotten all of the others correct, confidently would have gotten that one wrong.
And would have missed out on the 10 grand.
Yeah. Cottesloe Beach. All right.
Yep.
Now, keep those two correct answers written down. You're halfway to the 10K. We've released clues. So take a listen. This is one of them.
Ching.
This is another one. Who let the dogs out? Dogs out? And then we were literally handed a clue this morning, Kimber.
Yeah, so those two clues, we don't know which ones they relate to, one or four. And then we got handed these clues today, which were three flippers. Now, I don't know what I'm talking about because I don't know the answers to the Sounds of Perth.
Mm.
But we were wondering why we got three.
Mm.
Because Matt's not here, and I can understand if we all got a flipper each,
mm-hmm.
but Matt's not here, and they intentionally bought in three flippers. And that is why I think the guest this morning might have been close.
Very close. Very, very close. Can't even say what the guest was.
No. We can't say what the guest was, apparently. But I feel like, what else could it have been? Three flippers? What else do you know that's got three flippers?
I mean, hopefully you were listening this morning because a fresh new location for one of those sounds was revealed.
Well, now, only because she guessed it correctly, right?
Yeah. Now, if you have been listening in the past few weeks, I'm just going to rip this one out there, you would know that given something else, God, it's so hard to not say things and be really careful.
Okay.
Two, one and four, both of those locations have been correctly guessed. Shit.
None of this makes sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
I'll tell you what, how we can make this clearer.
How?
We're looking for sound one and four.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to number one, we can tell you that is the clue that the three flippers belong to.
Right, okay, go yeah.
So sound one is the flippers and possibly one of these sound effects.
Yeah. Well, you want me to play them again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ching!
Or... You know, I'm tired. I'm tired.
I know.
I'm tired.
But look, just keep having a go
mm-hmm.
because that's the best you can do.
Mm-hmm.
You could pick yourself up $1,000 or $10,000 and keep coming back to our podcast because we give you special guesses and clues and things here.
Yep.
And become a Mix 94.5 VIP because we give you some of the incorrect guesses so that you don't waste any. I mean, it's got everything you need.
Mix.com.au. All right. Good luck playing. Hopefully we'll speak to you tomorrow.
When you look at the Perth property prices, it's been making people feel very uncomfortable and in a bit of a pinch for a long time.
Yep.
Right? And the sad thing is I look around the country and I go, well, at least we're not Sydney. Like, you know, you actually feel grateful that there is some sort of housing affordability in Perth, but we're watching it just creep out of our reach.
Skyrocketing, and there's no crystal ball on it. As I've mentioned, like, my wife and I have been seriously considering selling our house to take advantage.
Yep.
But when you do that, because we've been looking around at other suburbs, where would we move to, so on and so forth.
Everything's too much.
You know what, hun? We might make a bit of money out of this. Why don't we move to like Wembley Downs or Kingsley Floreat? And then you go and look at those prices, you're like, we might just stay where we are.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Like, it's really significant. And this is always a conversation that it kind of makes me sad, actually, when I look at online, you'll get a lot of comments of older generations kind of going, well, you're just not working hard enough or you want too much. We had a two-bedroom with 10 10 of us living in it and stuff. And I get it. I understand that that was definitely a thing. And they went through property prices and interest rates of 18%.
Yeah.
Which, let's face it, if we had 18% interest rates on our houses now, most of us would be screwed.
Oh, I think we might be screwed, like, in the next couple of years if we see interest rate rises of a couple of percent.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Let alone 18.
There's definitely been some tough times, but when you look at it on the whole, on average, in the 80s, in the late 70s and 80s, the average home, the median house price in Australia you could buy was about 2.6 times your annual salary.
Okay.
Okay. So on average, 2.6 times what you were earning each year. It's currently 5.9 times the annual salary.
Right.
As of November last year.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, numbers don't lie, do they?
No, and that's massive. That puts things out of reach for a lot of people because even though our salaries may have increased, they haven't increased at that rate.
Mm.
And so I was just, reflecting on the amazing house price that my parents pay.
Oh, are you sure you want to do that? That's dangerous. It's very dangerous. It's a quick way to a downward spiral.
Oh, Kimber. God. So, my parents bought a house probably, I guess it would have been about the 70s in Belmont. Loved that place.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a quarter acre block, decent big property. And you don't get those anymore. And they paid $24,000 for it. And
did it have a house on it? Or was it just the block?
Had a house on it, $24,000 for the house and land.
Wow.
And they told me at the time for $3,000 more they could have bought in Mount Lawley, but it was out of reach. Three grand was
out of reach.
It was out of reach.
And just think like how much more that property would be worth now. In Mount Lawley for the outlay of $3,000.
Oh, they're well aware. They're very aware of that.
Oh, God.
And so, look, we chucked it on Facebook last night and I said, just out of curiosity, what did your parents pay for their house?
Yeah.
Your suburb, year, price. Now, some of these, I mean, Maria said she arrived in Australia in 1981, bought a block for $11,000 and built a house for $29,000.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad going.
Not bad at all.
Not bad.
Is that the suburb?
No, it doesn't. Katie got a place in High Wycombe in 1977. Her parents got a place for $17,000. Like, or the, Jonathan, his folks got 1973, Margaret River, one street back from the main road, $13,000 for a quarter acre block.
My folks, I'd wager it was probably about 1980 or 81.
Mm-hmm.
And Queen's Park they bought in.
Yep.
Quarter acre.
Mm-hmm.
My nonna and nonno bought the block for them as a wedding gift. And the other two kids as well. And I think the blocks cost them between $3,000 and $6,000. And because nonna was a grano worker, he virtually built the houses himself.
Yeah, right.
And so they did it all for under 25, I think. Man. And they paid their house off in 4 years.
That's incredible.
On the paltry wages that they were on.
It's incredible. These prices, I mean, people. Vanda says her folks spent $5,000 for a block in Swanview and $22,000 to build a 4x2 in 1973.
Jesus.
So, I'd just love to hear. Tell us what your parents paid for their property. And then we'll just sit here and think about how that dream is gone.
Hey, maybe you are the parent and you want to gloat.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Rub it in.
Slap us around a bit.
Tell us how many avocado sandwiches we have to give up on. Karen in Helena Valley, how much did your parents pay for their place?
£13,000.
Ooh.
Pounds, Karen. Pounds. Not dollars. Pounds.
Pounds, yeah.
Okay. So today's conversion, that's like $23,000, but it was probably even, the conversion was probably different even then.
Yeah.
But where was this, Karen?
In Midland.
Midland, okay.
And you sold the property last year, we read.
Yep, for over $300,000.
Oof.
Great.
Wow.
Great.
That's incredible, Garrett.
I suppose when you think about it too, over that time they would have invested lots of money, you paid plenty of rates, you've played, done work on the house.
But I still feel like, what's that, 61 to now, you got to still be well ahead.
Surely.
For selling it at that price. Georgia in Yokine, what did your parents pay for the house?
They paid $6,000 for house and land in Karrinup.
Oh, some of them sting, don't they, Georgia?
Oh, my gosh. It was a quarter acre block.
Yeah.
Yeah. And back then the roads were limestone.
Oh, that's interesting. We had someone also message saying their parents bought a block of land in Lathlane in 53 and they had to drive around on planks. Because there wasn't any roads.
We went and had a look at a house in Karrinup on the weekend, my wife and I. $1.5 million was the bare minimum asking price, and there was a line of 40 people out the door waiting to view the place.
Wow.
I could imagine. Yeah. My girlfriend's, her mum's house was auctioned last year in Karrinup, and it was the original house. It went for $930,000, but I'm thinking it's probably another $200,000 or $300,000 by now.
Oh, wow. My goodness. Georgia, wow. Thank you.
$6,000, that would have felt nice, wouldn't it? Marie, oh, yeah. In Doubleview, what did your parents pay for their place?
$3,400.
Okay. Whereabouts and when?
Shenton Park. About, I think it was close, 1966 approximately.
Shenton Park for under $4,000.
Yes.
Have they still got the place, Marie?
Pardon?
They still got the place? No, no. What?
No, no. My parents have passed.
Okay. Yeah. What do you reckon that property would be worth now?
Well, they've suddenly divided it into four blocks because it was nearly a quarter acre. So,
wow.
I would have to say, I don't know.
We're talking millions.
We're talking millions.
We're in the M's. Isn't that funny? Yeah. Every time there's a boom like this as well, all of a sudden people get really knowledgeable on things like R30, R40. Oh, you can subdivide your block. Oh, you can do this sort of stuff. And
but also the number of people who have mentioned quarter acre blocks. Like when was the last time you walked into a place and you saw a yard that size?
Oh, yeah. No, amazing. Don't, it's sad to think about. Good on you, Marie. Thanks for your call this morning, mate.
Perfect.
Last year, Aussies were scammed out of over $300 million. Phone scams.
It's a scam.
It's not a scam.
Identity theft.
Who are you? Really?
Even on Tinder.
The man I love was never real. Everything's a lie.
So who's doing it? How do we avoid it? And can you get your money back?
How could this happen?
On Mix 94.5, it's Pete, Matt and Kimber's Scam Week.
Guys, we're talking about scammers at the moment. It's Scam Week. But what about scamming the scammers?
Oh, that'd be nice. Get some back.
Oh, yes. Now, I believe this is one of your mates, Kimber.
Indeed. My friend Katie, she finds great entertainment, really, in scamming the scammers and then posting it on Facebook for all of us to enjoy the conversations. How are you, Katie?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're great. Katie, what first got you interested in thinking, I'm going to scam these guys and just string them along?
Originally, because they contacted me, I thought, okay, it's obviously not real. And I've seen shows on telly and stuff and elderly get scammed. So I thought, well, if I'm stringing them along, then they're not wasting their time. I'm wasting their time rather than them, you know, getting vulnerable people. So
okay, like a community service. Because I was going to ask you, how do you find the time to do this, you know?
Kimber knows I have a lot of time on my hands.
Yeah, talk us through. So give us an example of what you might do and how it might kick off.
Okay, it used to be Facebook, but now it's Instagram because Facebook picks them up pretty quick. So Instagram, you'll get a follow. Then they'll contact you and they're like, hello, happy to meet you. And then you look at their page and it's really obvious because the page is a couple of days old. All the photos are very similar looking men, usually military or an engineer on a oil rig. They like that.
Oh, do they? Okay.
Yeah, because that sort of can mean anything. So they can sort of answer any vague questions on it. And then they start talking, and honestly, like, it's the funniest thing. They go straight and telling you how they're a widower and their child died and their wife died and then in a car crash going to the supermarket. And, like, it's just hilarious. And then I take them through all the rubbish. Then they always take you off the app and they take you to Hangouts or WhatsApp.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yep.
So that you can't be caught because it'll be encrypted somewhere else?
Yes, they can't get blocked on there. Or you can block them, but they can't get caught from the admins and stuff. So they take you there and then they start their spiel and it's usually they have a book on it or internet on it. It's always the same sort of thing. And then I take them through and I go to the bank while they wait for days maybe and I do horrible things to them.
So they normally come through with some sort of a
sob
like,
story
could you send me this money? Now, they don't normally kick off with, I need $20,000, right? They're sort of, they build you up.
Yeah, some are different. It depends on who it is. Like, if you get the famous ones, like I've got Keith Urban and...
Whoa. So, okay, we're not just talking about a bloke on an oil rig here. You've got someone pretending to be Keith Urban.
Oh, yes.
Well, asking for money.
Yeah.
Bloody hell. I thought his last album did all right.
I was always broken up with Nicole and they're having hard times, but it's not on the internet. Like...
Brilliant.
Hattie, what celebrities have you apparently spoken to so far?
Okay, so I've had Keith Urban, many Keith Urbans. Shannon Knoll, he's a popular one.
I mean, Katie, that could be Shannon Knoll.
Yeah, that could be, yeah.
Let's be
and
honest.
Then they ring you with a Nigerian accent pretending to be Knowlesy.
Really? Oh. So
well, after he's had a couple of bourbon and cokes, he does sound a bit like that.
Katie, you've actually gotten to the point where they've called you on the phone, so they try to show that they're legit. But they obviously have foreign accents and they're still pretending to be Keith Urban.
Yes.
When they do that, Katie, does the number come through like Nigerian or somewhere that clearly Urban doesn't live?
No, they buy phone numbers.
Yeah, right.
They buy them through the US, a VoIP call or something. Right. So, it comes up as an American number or,
Katie, it's really nice to talk to you this morning. Keep having fun.
I will.
Little ears warning. I know it's early, so I'll probably talk about this, but little ears warning. If you want to turn the radio down, I give you permission. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, this sounds juicy.
I shaved my testicles yesterday.
See, the only reason, I think it's because we don't get to say the word testicles on air very often.
Testies.
You did some manscaping.
Did some manscaping.
Grooming.
Let me fill you in, right? So I, aside from this, do a lot of like online streaming and blah, 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 blah. Do some shows.
You're a busy dude. Lots of things going on.
And this company reached out to me. I've never heard of them before. They're called Manscaped.
Yep.
And they said, dude, we want to send you some stuff. And I was like, all right, you know, send it on over. And I thought it was like a beard trimmer.
Oh,
okay. So
of
they
course.
Send you like a box with some lotions and like clippers in it and yada, yada, yada. And then while it was in transit, I went actually looking at this brand.
These are my balls. See how they glisten in the light? Your balls can be like these, but you got to use the right tools for the job. That's why I use the Lawnmower 4.0.
And
so you did it.
This thing rocked up and I had a good look at it. And I was like, oh, I've never done this before in my entire life.
Oh, okay, you're not just announcing it because it's because it's your first time.
It's my first time.
You've never manscaped.
No, I've never manscaped. And I wanted to talk about
Liz.
This openly.
Sorry to hear that.
So why do you say sorry, Liz?
Because I just feel like manscaping is just a pleasant thing to do.
Right.
It's for who?
For the bloke or the person?
Well, I don't know. For women, I say it's for both.
Yeah.
I don't do it for men, but gee, it feels nice.
Well, look, I am normalising this discussion because we talk openly and honestly about women, you know, taking care of themselves down there.
Mm-hmm.
And blokes, well, I didn't realise it was such a thing, but then I brought it up and it turns out a lot of people do it. I was speaking to friends of mine yesterday, and they were like, it is taking you to the age of 36.
Yeah, it's quite surprising.
To have a go at that?
I thought that everyone would have a crack. Even years and years ago on Big Brother, when there was a dude called Saxon on there, I remember them bringing it up, going, yeah, this is a thing. And Saxon going, surely this isn't a thing. And they went, yes, it is. And then when no one was around, he went and grabbed the kitchen scissors in the Big Brother house and took off to the toilets and did some grooming and then came back and just slipped the scissors back into the drawer.
Oh, yuck. Now, look, I'm not going to go ahead and do that.
No.
But, you know, so yesterday my daughters were at school and Liz had to duck out quickly. It was just me and Ollie at home. And I'd put Ollie down for a sleep and I was like, well, if I'm ever going to get an opportunity without
now's
my wife looking me weird, now's the time. So got stuck in. Started with the lower area.
Yep.
Did a handstand. Oddly enough, it looks like Matt's head. went the full and then kind of, I didn't know what to make of it. Like it was and even today, like putting on my undies, because I've always had, you know, something pushing back against my underpants.
So it feels a bit different.
It feels so different.
Okay.
Like it almost feels
Is it
like
nice different.
I haven't figured it out yet.
It's maybe because you weren't alone long enough.
What do you mean?
Because you haven't had a chance to experience it.
Right. Okay.
You need to experience it now. Because you've done it, but now you have to see what it's like to live with it.
Right, okay. So I'll live with it for a little while.
I would imagine it's more sensitive.
Yeah.
Makes them nicely sensitive. Changes the way the area feels.
Okay. Well, it definitely does change the way the area. It feels like the cloth is too close, if that makes sense. But we're not even 24 hours in. Even this morning when I went and had a shower, I've got a little routine about how the way that I pump like the lotion around my body to soap up.
Yep.
So down there first. And then under each armpit and then scrub it. It just slid straight off. Usually it's got something to hang on
to.
There's nothing to grip. So anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is the new me.
Okay. Well, I mean, it depends how you like it or not. As you say, it's not for anyone else. It's for you. You just have to kind of roll with it, see if you like it or not, see if it pays off.
A few texts coming through on the text line. Jeff in Tapping said, Pete, you're Italian. No offense, but if you've never shaved down there, how did you find it? Jeff, you'll be stoked to know that I shaved down there. Still didn't find it. Here we go. There's another one. Yo, this is from Danny. Yo, interesting topic on manscaping. Did it when I was newly single in 2015. Not done it since. Newly married in 2016. Found the experience interesting enough. Itchy as on regrowth. Yeah. Could possibly do it again.
Okay.
And one more here from Sam. I manscape weekly. It feels amazing. Hate having hair there now.
Totally. Get it.
It could be me.
I get it. You just don't know where you're going to go with it. But just roll with it. Give it a go. If you get itchy, there's also products that you can get from the chemist for that sort of stuff.
Also happy to hear from the ladies.
Yep. How you feel about manscaping.
Yeah, their thoughts.
I like it. Why not keep it clean and keep it neat? Pete, Matt and Kimber. I missed the boat.
Okay.
I've seen this brilliant hack and I really needed it in the earlier part of summer.
Why? What's the hack?
But you can be prepped moving on now. It's a fly hack. It's a hack to stop flies coming in your house.
Actually stop them coming in.
Yeah. Well, prevent them. Prevent them coming in.
Because the issue that I have is the flies get in. Because they're, you know, like occasionally running around. I've become very good over summer. I don't know about you. I've become very good over summer at catching flies.
I'm incredible with a swat.
Really?
Yeah, because I grew up in a family where when there were flies in the house, Dad just unleashed about half a can of fly spray on them.
I remember those days.
So we grew up thinking that's how you killed flies.
Yeah.
I had no idea how easy a swat was and also environmentally friendly and the best option.
Kids, if you're listening to this right now, like, no kidding, we have no idea how any of us are still alive to this day.
Yeah, that is how you got the hole in the ozone. We're the reason you have to wear sunscreen, right? But this is a chemical-free hack to stop flies getting in your house, and I wish I'd known about it earlier.
Now, I trust you with stuff like this because I've heard good things about your avocado hack that you brought to the table the other day.
The avocados in the water in the fridge. That is going a treat. I've had avocados in there about 2.5 weeks, and they still haven't aged.
Yeah. So you put them in water in a container.
In the fridge with the
lid on. Seal the container and then in the fridge.
I bought 5 avocados when they were a buck each.
Mm.
And I'm only working my way into the fourth one now. I'm just taking them out a week at a time.
Jeez, should have held on to those. I don't know, inflation, worth a lot of money these days.
But this fly hack, so this is interesting, right? Mm. So this was just a mum who shared this hack and people said, it works.
Mm.
You grab a Ziploc bag, like a sandwich bag or, you know, bag like that, and you put a couple of coins in the bottom of it and you fill it with water and you hang it above the window or the doorway. And it will stop the flies coming in.
Why?
That's it.
Why?
It's just a couple of coins in a Ziploc bag sealed with water and you hang it above the doorway.
Is it a sound thing? Is it a colour thing? Why?
The theory is that basically some are saying that the flies might think that it's a wasp nest and so they avoid it. Others say it's the light that reflects from the coins. It messes with their eyes and the water and stuff. It looks like they're near a big pool of water and flies don't really dig water.
Yeah, okay.
Like you don't, when you're swimming out at the ocean or when you're in the backyard pool, you don't tend to get many flies near you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I don't think they like the water side of it.
Yeah.
But it must be reflect in a way that like bugs them out, right? The other suggestion was that you could get a lemon, cut a lemon in half and put cloves on top. And just stick it on the table and they won't come around.
Really?
Yeah. Until the lemon dries out. When the lemon dries out, you've got to replace it, apparently.
Right. I'm going to try that one today because it's, you know, given what we're seeing at the moment with the shops, it's pretty bloody hard to get Ziploc bags right now. So
hard to get lemons.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? Yeah. Lemons. Why are we paying for lemons? They should be in every backyard in this city.
Okay, so half a lemon cloves on top in the middle of the table outside.
Yep, or sandwich bag with coins in the bottom. Doesn't say what coins. If you're flashy, go for the $2.
Yeah.
If you're cheap, throw in the 5 cents. Pete, Matt and
Kimber. That was your Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast for St. John, WA. Safe 000 for emergencies. Mix 94.5.